off the last couple of days, and you want to obviously expand.
Sorry,
we got your letter, and obviously you want to expand a bit on that, so we're in your hands.
Yeah, so you want me to talk now?
Yep.
Yep, no problem. Okay, so you've got my letter. I won't repeat myself too much, but just wanted to go through the fact that I'm reasonably involved in the Queenstown community, obviously the Chief Executive of Queenstown Resort College, Deputy Chairman of the Chamber, Chairman of the State of Queenstown, on the board of DQ, and also the high school, so I have a fairly good cross understand the demands and the needs. So with that, congratulations obviously on the bus service you put in. I think we've come a decent problems, but I think that people are pretty tolerant of that and looking forward to it being successful. So from my point of view, I just want to explain a couple of things. One is the old arrangements, and just in some conversations I've had with Jared and a bit of back and forth with others, is I have no desire to try and maintain my old arrangements. All I'm simply trying to do here is get a tertiary fair recognised within Queenstown. And my suggestion is purely being well to take the logistics of setting up a new fair rate, just put it on to what the high school students are currently using at $1.50 rather than $2 per ride. So why I think that's important to recognise is firstly, you know, it's reasonably standard around the world that students or have limited means, and that they're investing in their futures and themselves, and they would like to, and communities generally recognise that and offer student discounts, which Otago Regional Council is not unfamiliar with, given you do that in Dunedin already. I think that you, because it is effectively a new initiative, creating a culture of usage is something that would be advantageous to the council, and to have a ready-made audience of over 300 people using the service daily would actually create a culture, but also conditions these students that when they go on and become members of the workforce, they're already used to a bus service, and as graduates they will use it. So I would say the QRC community within Queenstown alone would represent close to, well, I'm guessing that it'll be somewhere between 700 and 1,000 people, young people who you've got an opportunity to actually to create a culture of usage. And that happens already based on our past arrangement, but it'd be good to maintain that. Obviously, Queenstown Lakes District Council are supportive of what I'm proposing. And I think that as a partner in, with ORC, that needs to be considered and recognised seriously. I think the other thing that perhaps you're not familiar with as much as maybe QRDC and some local residents is the fact that we are trying to diversify the economy here in Queenstown. Education is right at the forefront of that, and as a result, we need to be considered a student-friendly or a tertiary student-friendly community, and recognising that with a discounted bus service which would make sense and be encouraging. I think when I thought through the logistics, I don't think we'll be setting any precedents by allowing tertiary students discounted fares. The fact that they're very easy segments to identify and they would be able to qualify for a discount unless they had a pre-approved or recognised student card tying them to QRC or an institution. I think that if your target, and I was at the opening, and you know, you're saying you've got 500,000 users at the moment and you want to get that to 1 million users, well, I think that QRC students alone can get that to over 100,000, so that's more than 10% of what your target is. And I think that from a PR point of view, from an advocacy point of view, you do have a ready-made audience just ready to go. I see that you gave out 5,000 go-cards in the last couple of weeks. I would say at least 10% of those would be to QRC students or to QRC graduates. In fact, I'd say more than 10%. I do note in the briefing documents that you're comparing 25,000 students to 350 in Dunedin, in Queenstown. So 25,000 in Dunedin, 350 in Queenstown. I think you need to also take into account when you're making that decision that you want to look at users. And the 10% figure, when I was talking to Jared, you did quote that 10% of your users in Dunedin are actually students, and I'd suggest that you'd easily attain that level of users here within Queenstown. So it's a little bit of a scale issue when you compare those sort of numbers, but then you also look at to meet the students within the university campus. Look, you guys know the people better than I do, but I probably know Queensland reasonably well, and what influences that. So look, I don't know if there's any new information there. I think it allows me just to be really clear that I don't want this to be overthought. All I really am after is a student discount. I'm not looking to actually do an arrangement like we did prior, and I think that's important to really understand. And the students just deal with Orbus directly and paying for their go-cards and topping them up as they see fit. So at this point, happy to take any questions.
Yeah, thank you for that. You made it very clear. Are there any questions? Councillor Robertson.
Yeah, hopefully you can hear me there okay as I ask a question from around the chamber. You've mentioned that you're not looking to reinstate a previous type of arrangement. You're open to a discount though. The $50 a month deal did seem like a good one. I was just wondering what the uptake was from the students with that deal, if you've got any idea of how many percentage, roughly.
Yeah, we have a couple of halls of residence. So we had a halls of residence in Fern Hill, which is where we have 94 students who live there, and pretty close to 100% of those students can take them. So when I say we have 350 students, we have half of those that are on internship and half of those are actually at the college. So we have 200 students any given day at the college. And internship students tend to go out of town. But because they are on a repeat, it's quite complicated how we do it, but look, the uptake was, when they previously started our halls of residence, was close to 100%.
Okay, thank you.
So we have another halls of residence out in Arthur's Point which can accommodate 150 students. That wasn't used quite so frequently given the service that was offered there, but I suspect, well, I already know that that you'd get close to 100% of those students using it based on the fact that you have a more regular and reporting service.
Thank you.
Councillor Scott.
Hi. This $1.50 versus the $2, from my original perception, I had assumed that the $2 was actually already a pretty good deal. I'm just trying to get a feel of whether I'm right or wrong on that. There's no disagreement from me that students typically get a discount, but maybe they've already got a good deal. I'm just trying to get my head around that. I see the previous deal was
a question. There's something that I thought of as well, but there's two factors to feed that. One is that they're conditioned to a better deal. So when the $2 a day fare came out, it was sort of significantly more than what they used to. And the other one is a perception issue that it doesn't matter how it's being subsidised, the user only sees $2. And without a discount on that, they don't feel fairly represented based on the fact they're sitting next to a business person or whoever else on the bus and they're paying the same fare. And the fact that you recognise that $1.50 fare for school kids is reasonable, that's how I'd respond to that, basically.
Yeah, well, you cut me off halfway through my point. To me, if somebody else is getting a good deal is irrelevant. The question is, are the students getting a good and fair deal? That's the question. If somebody else is sitting beside getting a good deal, well, that's great, but that's irrelevant. Previously, $150 per term, that's what our report says, $150 per term. If we charged you $1.50, that's the equivalent of 100 rides, which is, say, 50 backs and forwards, which 5 days a week is 10 weeks. So it's sort of, I'm just not sure whether we're just, but anyway, let's see what happens on the financial side. But you think it's a fair deal to get $1.50?
Look, I think it recognises, I think $1.50 is about where it is. I think given what you're trying to achieve here, I think for me to go any cheaper than that wouldn't be being reasonable.
You should come and hop on the buses in Dunedin.
$1.50 is being a fair deal.
Okay.
The other thing you're doing is you're offering, this is me arguing for you, is that you're actually offering the better service.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Lawton.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Charlie. It's Ella here. Just checking whether or not ORC has considered this previously for the Queenstown service. So has the costing been taken into consideration? Has it been talked through with the Queensland Lakes District Council?
Okay, I'll just we've got Mr. Jared Colling with us, who you know, Charlie. I'll ask him to make some comment on that.
That'd be great.
Sorry,
you waiting for me? No, 1 second, Charlie. We're just
I might have this procedurally wrong. It's questions from the councillors to you, and we'll have to debate this later on, if that's all right. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, my apologies.
Points of clarification only, yeah?
With the speaker.
With the speaker.
The item is an item to be... It's included in... the PT update later, so it can be debated and discussed then.
Do we have any more questions? Everyone happy? Well, thank you very much for that presentation, Charlie. I think we're all pretty clear, and as I say, we've got a transport item later on in this agenda, and we'll give consideration to your request then. Councillor Lawton?
Can I just have one last...
Coming to a conclusion?
Well, someone should get back to you within the next couple of days, I would have thought, about where we are with it. Councillor Lawton's just got one final query.
Actually, I wanted to just check, in terms of confirmation of the agenda, can we bring that agenda item forward so that Charlie can hear the conversation that we're having?
No.
So, if this was a public session and he was here in person, he would be able to sit through and listen to our conversation. So, are we going...
I think that's not an unreasonable request.
Mr. Donnelly, for clarification, please.
Yes, you can if you move to, you could change the order of the agenda.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Great. So when we get to that point, just giving Charlie the option to stay online and and be able to hear that discussion.
We have got lunch coming up, of course.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't we need to go into committee to discuss that, though?
It's not an in-committee item. Mm.
But if we were to discuss fares, wouldn't that have commercial ramifications?
We've got an item there, haven't we?
We've got an item.
If I may advise the chair, so item 4 of your agenda is confirmation agenda, which gives you the ability to reorder the agenda if you wish. I don't believe there is anything that we discussed in this particular committee that would be private or confidential and not in the public realm.
Sorry, I can't hear that.
Sorry, Charlie, I'm just trying to assist council in giving them some advice about how they might reorder the agenda to accommodate you to be able to listen. The other advice to council in that would be Charlie would be able to listen but not participate.
Absolutely.
Okay. Look, we'll do that then. We'll change the. I've got the confirmation of the agenda as the next item. We'll confirm the agenda. There's been no additional things advised, but we will alter the order to consider transport issues first up. I haven't been advised of any conflicts of interest. Confirmation of the minutes from the last meeting. Councillor Noon, I wasn't here. You chaired it.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman. The chair and correct.
Seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Okay, we'll go straight on to the agenda items and passenger transport update. There's four items there. Dunedin Public Transport Network. Mr. Colling, I don't know if you want to make some comments on those first three items about Dunedin Transport.
That's what you're doing.
If I may, through the chair, just councillors will be aware of some of the teething issues we've had with the Dunedin Public Transport Network. Again, a tight time implementation. Driver shortages, and I'll use that term carefully, can continue to be a concern both here in the Wakatipu. But I want to put that into context. In relation to the network changes that have occurred in both Dunedin and Wakatipu, there has been 70 new jobs created in Otago that didn't exist prior to the change, which I think is a positive component for this council, reflecting and contributing to the economy. Highlighting the fact that we have had some concern raised in relation to the Helensburgh Waikare services, and in particular the placement of some temporary bus stop locations. I would expect that probably at some stage the council will get a petition from the local community seeking a review of those particular routes. The complaint about Human Rights Commission, just an update, that is still sitting in the mediation process, and will advise council of the outcome of the process once that is completed. The Dunedin bus hub interchange, again, just highlighting we're looking at taking that decision to the 13th of December council meeting for council's final decision, sorry, the recommendation for council's final decision on the designation.
Thank you for that. Are there any questions or comments on Dunedin transport issues? Councillor Scott.
Well, I was going to, prior to that discussion there, I was actually going to ask that we could specifically talk about the student fare concession. It's the number one. Are we able to talk about that now?
Well, we're just going to move on to that.
Okay, well, I apologise. I'll pull back.
Councillor Robertson.
But, yeah.
I wanted to talk before we did move on about Dunedin and Wakatipu really positively. It's a major achievement for our council to have got to this point, and I wanted to mark that. I know that Jared, and we've thanked Jared and his team, but it's important that we do. We've got really such a skeleton staff working on this. You could have an entire department, 100 staff working on these projects at the moment. They're two very big, significant projects, and when you put it together with other transport matters going on, bus hub, many others, it's a huge undertaking, and many extra hours have been worked and have gone particularly smoothly, I think, with some really good positive community involvement and comment. There have been a few teething issues, I suppose, but yeah, 70 extra jobs created is massive and very positive. So yeah, thank you very much. And I also wanted to just take this moment as well to thank all the other staff as well as Jared's team that have been involved, and Nick and Andrew as well, who were up at 5 a.m. on Monday launching the Wakatipu service at short notice. Really appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, we can move on, I guess, to other matters unless others want to talk
about that. Okay. Are there any comments about the Queenstown launch? Councillor Noon, it went well.
Yes, and I suppose the only comment I'd make, the national media were more interested in the potential for the regime to be copied in other centres. And I just stress the point that the collaboration that doesn't necessarily happen overnight is something that needs to be knocked off. And if you've got parties all on the same page, that's half the battle, and that doesn't, there's a lot of work that went behind the scenes to actually achieve that. So,
Okay, we'll move on to the student fare concession. Perhaps I'll ask Mr. Collins to maybe, there are some implications in terms of our regional passenger transport plan and our annual plan around this, so I might ask Mr. Collins to comment initially, please.
So, may if I may, through the chair, pick up from a question that Councillor Morden was raising in the public forum. The issue of concessions for the Wakatipu Basin was considered by Council through the amendment to the Regional Public Transport Plan. The existing Regional Public Transport Plan has a series of concessions identified within the plan. Council chose at the time it adopted the Wakatipu network and the fare zone structure not to apply concessions for students or for Gold Card Extra entitlements or Super Gold Card Peak passengers. Council had adopted the RPTP amendment, specifically identified two areas of the community for the subsidy. That is the concession that's applied to all adults and the concession that's applied to children through the use of the Gold Card. For comparison, prior to the $2 network coming into play, the best fare one might achieve for an adult was $4.05. That fare would get you from Fern Hill to just short of the Queenstown Hub on Kemp Street. To get to the Queenstown Hub from Fern Hill would have been a $5 fare with go-kart. The maximum fare was $15 from Arrowtown as a cash fare, with a 10% discount for using the go-kart within a walkthrough basin. Children, again, the minimum fare for a child would have been $2.70, ranging to a maximum fare of about $6.75 with a go-kart. The range of fares in the Wakatipu Basin now are prescribed for subsequent writing report, I've received some advice from our solicitor about the process of council were of the mind to introduce a student fare. The advice from our solicitor is it would require an amendment to the RPTP, having council already having gone through a process of public consultation. And the fees would also have to be set through the MFA, through amendment to the MFA.
Thank you for that. I'll hand it over to the councillors to discuss this. Councillor Robertson.
I just wanted to thank Mr. Collings for that very clear description of the process and what would be required from this point on. As the chair of that panel for the amendment for the Wakatipu network changes, we did go through a fair process and submitters had a fair chance to say we have received this particular matter as a submission at that point. Doesn't mean that we can't put our minds to thinking about it as we go forward. We just need to go through another RPTP consultation and annual plan change. I don't feel that that is warranted, personally. We have considered this point, and I'm happy with the decision we made. Simplicity, I think, was the real key to this. Fairness and simplicity, simple timetabling, simple charging, I think we're sitting right at the moment.
Thank you. Councillor Scott.
I'm just trying to get my head around some of these issues. Previously, students paid QRC $150 per term. Yeah. And so we're, through the chair, just getting clarification from Jared, you know, so they previously paid $150 per term. How does that compare with the $2 or the $1.50? Are they getting a better deal now or a worse deal, the students?
Mr. Collins?
If I may, through the chair, that depends entirely on the number of times that an individual student would travel on the service. If I may, through the chair, the arrangement was put in place with Queenstown Resort College by originally Connect Bus and then picked up by Richie's was confined to one route. That route was from effectively Sunshine Bay through to Remarkables Park. We don't have patronage details in relation to the usage. So I don't know, that my understanding of a general term is something like about 10 or 11 weeks, if I base that on a school term. If you look at a $2 fare, you could expect a student travelling every day to be paying $20 per week.
Well, if it was 10 weeks, with respect, if it was 10 weeks, it actually works out to be $1.50 per trip.
If I may, through the chair, I think Councillor Scott is referring if the child fee was applied.
It says whereby the students paid it QRC $150 per term. I'm just, you know, it's not about what I'm just trying to understand what's here. So that was from Fern Hill, as you point out, paying a fare. I'm just trying to get an understanding, is if they went for, if they did 10 weeks, 5 days a week, there and back, that's equivalent to $1.50. So from those students, So when you say a student, are you talking about the same type of student this gentleman was talking about before?
Queensland Resort College are the only tertiary institutions in the
Students. So, in a way, they those people on that particular route, though you're saying they could be living elsewhere, I suspect if they went to where they were going every day, they were paying $1.50. After saying that on the national program today, apparently the 67% of students go to school regularly, which is another interesting statistic.
What's that got to do with it?
The order, well, please carry on.
A lot, if you're trying to do the maths, Councillor Deacon.
Those were school kids they were talking about.
Hang on, carry on, Councillor
Yeah,
Scott.
So wouldn't I put it to you then, through the chair, that in fact if they go regularly 5 days a week, boom, 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 that's equivalent to $1.50. But that would be the fair FAIR outcome. Or to maybe to an independent person, to a director of finance.
Through the chair, I think you're doing a calculation based on what they might have been paying previously, which,
yeah,
as Mr. Phillips said, he's not asking for that, and that's largely irrelevant. I mean, the real question is, should council be looking at introducing a tertiary fare?
Yeah.
Mr. Phillips has suggested that should be the current school student fare, which is actually a 25% discount on the current $2 fare. Now, there's comparisons being made to Dunedin, there is a tertiary fare in Dunedin. It happens to be a 10% discount, as pointed out in Mr. Collins' report, 10% discount on the full adult fare. The big difference is, of course, in Dunedin, there is no $2 flat fare.
Yeah,
and in fact, if, for example, a student was coming from Mosgiel, they would be getting 44 cents off the $4.40. So there's quite a different philosophy in fare charging being applied in Queenstown, primarily around the fact that a flat $2 fare has been introduced. And the big question would be, is that a fare? And the philosophy there, as Councillor Robertson pointed out, was that you're moving to a very cheap flat fare for all, and you're not bringing a multiple concession type arrangement in. And
okay,
that's what council needs to really consider, is do they think that it's warranted, based on what Mr. Phillips is saying, moving away from that philosophy.
Okay, so on that basis, you've convinced me. I agree with Councillor Robinson. They're already getting a good deal on the $2 fare. They're asking for a 25% discount, whereas in fact 10% really is the more sustainable one, but they're already getting a good deal. So I accept that. Thank you.
Other speakers, please. Councillor Bell.
Yeah, my understanding is that we've got just over 500,000 people, half a million rides being used on the bus service, and we need 1 million to make it pay. And that's obviously calculated out on $2 for it to clear the bill. That was what Mayor Jim Bolt said at the opening. I met a lady at the opening day with her 1 week child and one coming along, who said that the $2 fare is great. And so I'm going to what the gentleman just said before, where a businessman is sitting beside one of their students. Also sitting beside those students is a mother who is struggling with her husband's income to survive in the Queenstown area. So you can't, they're no different than the students. And so I feel that we can't go away from our $2 fare. It's a simple fare, it's a simple, keep it simple, and that's the way to go. And that's for everybody, whether you're a mum or a student that's struggling to pay the rent.
Thank you for that. Is there any further comment? Councillor Lawton.
Thank you. I guess just I'm glad to hear that through the due process that student fares had been considered as part of the submission process, and I think given the discussion around the table, what is fair for students at $2, I'm going to support Councillor Robertson on that one in terms of, you know, it is about simplicity, it's about that message, and Councillor Bell's point around having it fair across the district, I think, or the Wakatipu, is a really good one. So I think I'm going to support the second. I'm happy to move 5C in the recommendation to reject their request at this stage.
A and C.
Okay, just to be clear, we'll handle those two recommendations now, B and C. One says we accept the submission from Queenstown Resort College, and the other says we recommendation says that we should reject the request from Queenstown Resort College. So just to be clear what we're talking about here, so we'll deal with that now. Is there any last comment about this, please? Well, if not, sorry, Councillor Robertson.
Oh, we seconded.
So I moved
it. Sorry, seconded by...
I was going to second Alan.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Robertson. Yep. Okay, I'll put those two recommendations. Those that vote for... just the one really. We've got a recommendation that we reject the submission and the change. So all those in favour of that recommendation, C. Please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, we're going to break for lunch now, but thank you very much for your interest in this, Mr. Phillips. Sorry we didn't get the outcome you were wanting, but that this was the consideration of council.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Wondering if we need to move A, which is that the
report
we'll
be received. We can do that later.
Sorry,
that was the thing. I think lunch is here, so we have to adjourn for lunch and we'll resume straight after. Oh, no, we've got...
LGNZ.
We've got so it'll be after that. We've got LGNZ after lunch and then we'll resume back with Finance and Corp then after that.
Put on you.
Sorry, that was a wee bit messy.